chapter 1. Glenda, if my friend he starts dozing off, just tap him. Romans 1, we're going to begin a series. Won't be as lengthy, but what's more verses as the last. But we want to begin a series on verses 18 through verse 32. It's a passage of Scripture we've preached from many times here. The book of Romans, of course, derives its name from those who were at Rome to whom Paul was writing. It's a very theological book. It's a very practical book, and we've talked about that before. But Paul expounds upon both the theological and practical aspects of the gospel or salvation. These verses that we're going to look at are really a biblical explanation of what is happening right before our eyes. It explains it. It explains what is happening, it explains why it's happening. And I think it's very important that God's people understand that. It's an illustration of how God and His Word are being systematically pushed out of the consciousness of man. The degeneration and godlessness of society, where the emphasis is, where the emphasis and the aim and the goal is self. I believe these verses describe why that is, how it's come about. So what we see here is the awful spiral of depravity. We see the progress, or the process, I should say, of secularization. So these verses reveal the mess that humanity is in. And it reveals why. And why it's going to get worse. Because it's a cycle. It's a process. In verse 17 and 18, the next 2 weeks, we're just going to, by way of introduction. But let's read verse 17 and 18. For therein, talking about the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just, or the justified, that's the saved, shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Those two verses form the introduction to what follows. And I want you to notice, in those two verses, you have God, you have the righteousness of God, you read of the just, or the saved. You read of faith. These are all good things. God, the righteousness of God, the just, and faith. But we also read of the wrath of God. We read of men in a general way. We see that these men are in ungodliness. Ungodliness is mentioned. Unrighteousness is mentioned. Another thing that is mentioned is truth. All of those things exist. All of those things are real right now. So in these two verses, verse 17 and 18, two revelations are spoken of. There's the revelation of the gospel. The gospel reveals the righteousness of God. But there's another revelation spoken of as well. There is the revelation of present time. Present time reveals God's wrath. Present time reveals the sinfulness of man. We see that there are two groups of people in these verses. Two lifestyles, not just two groups of people, but two lifestyles. We read that the just, okay, that's a group of people. But then we read they shall live by faith, that's a lifestyle. So the just have a lifestyle. We also read of ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Men, that's another group. Men in general. Not the male, but humanity in general. And these hold the truth. Or they restrain the truth in unrighteousness. So we see the just, they're going to live by faith. And they're going to do that regardless of the times. And regardless of the time, humanity in general are going to live in ungodliness and unrighteousness. So in verse 18, Paul makes a general statement. The general statement is, because of man's sin, God's wrath is being revealed. It is being revealed right now. We live in a society, in a country, a world, under the wrath of God. So, in verse 18, there's this general statement. Because of man's sin, God's wrath is being displayed. And then in verses 19 through 32, he expounds upon that statement that because of man's sin, God's wrath is being revealed. And he develops that statement. So in verse 18, you have a general and universal statement concerning the wrath of God, the ungodliness and the unrighteousness of men. And then in the remaining portion of the chapter are the particulars of that statement. And that's what we want to look at in this series. But let's just read from verse 19 on. Just read it. Again, he's developing the statement, the general statement that he has made. He's given us some details. And notice, as we read through here, notice such words as because. This speaks of a process. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, man in general, for God hath showed it unto them. Not in a saving way, but God hath showed it to mankind. And then he explains that. We see that from the opening word, for. For the invisible things of him, God, from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, creation. Even his eternal power and Godhead. So there's a general revelation of God to humanity, so that they are without excuse. Someone says, well, they've never heard the truth. They are without excuse. Creation itself makes them without excuse. The general revelation of God makes them without excuse. Verse 21, because. There it is again. Because is a word that introduces an explanation. It's a word that introduces an effect. Because that. So he's talking about some, that is referring to something specific. When they knew God, that is, it's not talking about salvation. It's a general knowledge of God that you get from just observing creation. They glorified him not as God. That's humanity since the fall. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Notice, they didn't do something, they became something. They became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves, so they professed themselves to be wise. We live in the age of academia. People think they're smarter than any generation that's ever lived on the planet. Nothing could be further from the truth. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. The Greek word is morons. They became morons. It doesn't say they did stupid things. They did, but they became something. They became morons. They became idiots. That's what this is talking about. That's today. I mean, you can be below average intelligence today and almost look like a genius with the general population. People have become morons. We'll get more on that later as we progress. And they change the glory. This explains what morons do. They change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. That's what they do. That's how you identify them. And to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore? There's a connection. In consequence of, God also gave them up to uncleanness. That's an aspect of the wrath of God. God giving them up. And we'll get more on that as well. God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. In other words, he turned them over to themselves. That's where we are today. To dishonor their own bodies between themselves. That means a lot of things. These people who became morons, they changed the truth of God into a lie. That's what a moron does. And they worshipped and served the creature or man or creation more than the Creator. That's what a moron does. They became morons. That's what almost everybody around us does. Who's blessed forever? For this cause, because they changed the truth of God into a lie, because they worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, God gave them up. Again, that is an aspect of the wrath of God. God gave them up. He gave them up unto vile affections. In other words, God pulled back the restraints. And man begins to do what he is by nature. The tribulation period, the restraints of the Holy Spirit are removed. We are in that process of that happening. God is pulling back the restraints. That's part of the wrath of God. For this cause, and I want to say that's worse than the cataclysmic wrath of God, an earthquake or whatever. This is worse, and this is what we're under. It's the wrath of God giving up a people, giving up a nation. Gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women, and there's a tone of surprise there. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. This is a result of God giving them up unto their vile affections. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly. Again, this is what morons do. This is a result of the wrath of God. People will say God is going to pour his wrath down upon this nation because of homosexuality. True. But it's worse than that. Amen. The homosexuality is the wrath of God. It's God removing his hand, and this is what they do. So it's part of the wrath of God. And receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet or which was fitting. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over. There it is again. They didn't like to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to what? A reprobate mind. Here we are in academia. People are morons. And God has given them up to a reprobate mind. You see the pattern here concerns the thought process. We say all the time, you talk to people and say, I don't know where they get their thinking. Here it is. Here it is. It is a result of the wrath of God. So God gave them up over to reprobate mind. Do people recover from that? I don't think so. I don't think so. Look up the word reprobate. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Why did he do that? To do those things which are not convenient. He just let them go. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, which is infectious, that which is incurable, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. Oh, and we can get stuck right there. Inventors of evil things. Disobedient to parents, without understanding. Talk to a worldling today. They have no understanding whatsoever. But without understanding, this is part of the wrath of God. Amen. Covenant breakers, without natural affection. And that refers more than just to homosexual acts. That's parents for their children and children for their parents. It's what ought to be natural affection. Implacable, which means they're unrelenting. They have no remorse. They're unmerciful. They know the judgment of God. And they which commit such things are worthy of death. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So those verses expound upon that general statement made back in verse 18. Because of man's sin, God's wrath is displayed. All through the pages of Scripture and through the pages of history, it is made crystal clear that man is plagued with sin. History makes it clear. You don't even need the Word of God to make that clear. History makes it clear that man is plagued with sin. We see everywhere we turn, it is inescapably evident that something is dreadfully and desperately wrong with humanity. It's obvious. You can't even ignore it. Something is desperately wrong with humanity. Now, our times are evident of the fact that not only is there something wrong, but there is something horrifying. There is something monstrous and abominable about the human race. Now, the humanists, of course, tell us differently. And here in Romans 1, verses 18 32, Paul paints a word picture, really, of the tragedy of humanity. Throughout, from the garden on, you have a picture or an illustration of the tragedy of humanity. And in doing so, he reveals, as he does all through the Word of God, that man is not, I mean, you look at scriptures, and it is very plain that man is not inherently good, but innately sinful. Again, you don't even have to look at scriptures to come to that conclusion. All you have to do is look at history, and it is proven out. Now, the evolutionist and the so-called progressives, and they call themselves progressives because that sounds like improvement is being made. It sounds like a good thing. It's anything but. They're progressing, but they're progressing toward hell. They're progressing toward further display of the wrath of God. But man, in his moronic mind and in his reprobate mind, thinks, progressive, man, this is great. Doesn't have any sense. Doesn't understand. So, evolutionists and these so-called progressives live under the delusion. History denies it. The Word of God denies it. Their own lives deny it. That man is getting better. For someone to make that statement that man is getting better, all you have to do is look around. That is not so. That is not so. It hasn't been so since the fall of man. Man is not getting better. Man is getting worse. But you see, their idea is that man starts from simplicity and he mutates upward. Man is moving upward. But that's delusional. And it is contrary to, again, both history and the Word of God. In this series, we're going to do a lot of looking into humanism. But in the introduction of what is now called the Aspirations of Humanism, it's really known as the Humanist Manifesto 3. There's been three humanist manifestos. Three, of course, would be the most recent. It is stated that humanism is a progressive philosophy of life. This is their words. Without, here we go, a progressive philosophy of life without supernaturalism. What does that mean? It means without God. So, it is a progressive philosophy of life without God. In other words, we are improving without God. Man's improving on his own. Goes on to say, we affirm our ability and responsibility to lead ethical lives. Now, their definition of ethical and our definition of ethical and the biblical definition of ethical, two completely different things. Of personal fulfillment that aspire to the greater good of humanity. Now, you think about that statement, the greater good of humanity without supernaturalism. That doesn't work. Only someone who has a moronic mind and someone who's been given over to a reprobate mind thinks that works. And we have a whole generation that believes that. Because from the time they were little, they've sat under the feet of humanists. God's people have handed their children over to humanism. I'm not saying they intended to do it. I'm not saying they sat down and discussed, you know what, we need, our kids need to be indoctrinated in humanism. No, I don't believe that. But they're ignorant. They're ignorant of what's being taught. And they sacrifice their children upon the altars. And then they expect the church to fix what's been going on for 5 days in an hour. And then some of them go home and undo what was taught at church. And then they wonder, what's the problem? You got to wonder if God's people aren't falling in line with this moronic mind, reprobate mind. It goes on to say, the life stance of humanism, guided by reason. Okay? Reason. Remember what we've just read. There's no reason there. Guided by reason, inspired by compassion. Oh yeah, we're compassionate people. We kill unborn infants. We're compassionate people. Only a moron would believe such a thing. And informed by experience. What's that telling us? Again, go back to without supernaturalism. Experience is better than God. Encourages us to live life well and fully. Again, we would have different definitions. If you're not living your life for God, you're not living it well and you're not living it fully. If you think your life should be without supernaturalism or God, you're not living your life well, you're not living it fully. It evolved through the ages and continues to develop through the efforts of thoughtful people. That's not you and I in their minds. We're the problem. Who recognize that values and ideas, however carefully wrought, are subject to change. That's a key. And why they are subject to change has our knowledge and understanding advance. That's where we are. And Romans 1, and we'll stop today, but Romans 1 paints a picture. And it is just a downward spiral. And it's not going to be reversed. Oh, we need to elect better politicians to reverse this spiral. It's not going to be reversed. Things might improve to some degree in some areas. But let me tell you something. Just because the economy improves does not mean that spirituality has. And just because the military is stronger doesn't mean, oh, we're better now. No, we're still in Romans 1. And I believe we will be until Jesus comes. And then, of course, it's going to be worse, but you and I won't be here. Let's look to the Lord and word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we again thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings of life that you've bestowed upon us. We pray that you'd be with us today, that you'd meet with us, that you'd speak to our hearts. Draw us closer to thee. Cause us to be more like thee. May we go from here today closer to you. May you help us to just glorify you in everything that is said, everything that is done. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.